Welcome back to the Split Screen Podcast, the official podcast of BlankPageBeatdown.com. My name is Shah Shaheed, and usually this podcast is all about comparing film remakes to their source material, basically to discover the similarities, expose the differences, and provide an insight to put it all into context, as well as, from time to time, some Bollywood hijinks. This episode is a little weird, as instead of comparing two movies, we're actually comparing the trailers of two movies, one obviously remade from the other. Salman Khan's Tubelight, which is releasing on June 23rd, has been revealed to be a remake of the Hollywood movie from 2015 called Little Boy. Unmistakably so. So on this episode, recorded a few weeks ago, I'm rejoined by Kathy Gibson from AccessBollywood.com to not only compare these two trailers, but also find out about the business of Bollywood and the best films of 2017 so far. So here is episode 30 of the Split Screen Podcast. Enjoy. Kathy, how's it going?
Good. How are you doing, Shah?
Not bad, not bad. Thank you for joining me this nice Sunday afternoon.
Yes. Unlike our usual morning calls, we are now branching out into the afternoon.
To be fair, though, usually we always compare movies that are terrible. So the rage, I feel like, wakes us up 90% of the time. If they were good, I think we'd just be like, it's good. I'm so sleepy.
We'd have nothing to talk about, exactly.
Yeah. Or not with the kind of passion that we usually talk about with. How are you? What have you been up to?
I've been enjoying this beautiful Memorial Day weekend here in United States of America. Yeah.
So well, it's a long weekend for you guys.
Yeah.
We had ours last weekend.
How'd that go?
It was Victoria Day. Don't ask me what that is.
It sounds more, it's got kind of a grand sound to it that Memorial Day doesn't. Victorious.
I don't know. See, it sounds like Victoria is like, you know, someone's birthday we're celebrating. Like, it's Victoria Day. It's like, okay, so why does the whole country get off? Memorial Day sounds like we're memorializing something. I don't know.
That is true, which unfortunately, and then of course, being Americans, we have since turned it into a day where it's really easy to buy mattresses on sale. Which naturally fits with remembering war heroes.
Correct me if I'm wrong, though. Isn't that President's Day more?
Actually, any national holiday is an excuse to buy a mattress on sale.
All right, perfect. All right, cool. So, Kathy, before we get into it, essentially today we're comparing. It's a weird episode. I don't know what kind of possessed us to do this, but we're not even comparing two movies. We're comparing two trailers today. Just because they're just so... we'll get into it. But before we jump into that, I just wanted to know, like, what have you been up to? What are you watching? Like, let people know what it is you're doing and what's been going on with you.
Well, Bollywood-related, my most recent review was Half-Girlfriend, which is... If any of our listeners also listen to the Dulhania franchise episode, basically it's the same as Badrinath. In terms of its,
I read your review and I feel like Half Girlfriend got a lot more venomous than Badrinath, which is weird because I didn't think it get worse.
Well, it also has to do with the fact that this is like two movies in the span of like 2 months. I'm tired of this crap.
Yeah,
I've had enough.
Well, there was a reprieve with Mary Pyari Bindu, right? You liked that one?
Yeah, that was great. Yeah, I thought that was a lot of fun and very you know, good balance between the male and female lead characters. He didn't smack her around, from what I recall, which was the problem with the other two movies. So, you know.
You're saying the bar is so low, though, now.
I know. Ridiculous.
No emotional abuse or physical abuse. Success.
Yay!
It's weird. I haven't seen either Half-Girlfriend, which I'm not watching until it comes on Netflix, and I'm forced to watch it with the women that live with me. And maybe even though I do want to check out, just because I've now gotten like 7 different independent like validations of people telling me that you need to watch this. So yeah.
It's that and Filori are like the two movies of anything in 2000 or 2017 so far.
Really? Like, okay, it's up there with Filori.
It's Yeah, second favorite after Fulari.
Wow. Okay, that's see. I've been poo-pooing Maripyaari Bindu since those first look things came out. Because I'm like,
yeah.
I want this to be good, but this looks terrible. Hey, I asked this. I've been asking this everyone. Have you read the book Love Story by Eric Segal?
No, I haven't, and I haven't seen the movie. I know. I'm sorry.
I think there's a movie. Yeah, I'm not sure if there's a movie, but whatever. I don't know. Is it only me? This was like big in the 90s, and like no one now knows of it. It's so weird. I feel like I'm ancient. Anyway,
kind of like that book. Was it Communion? The one about all the aliens. The alien invasion one that was like on every grocery store like
rack. I remember that.
See now you're
aging yourself.
I know because I'm older than you, so we're losing everyone under the age of 30.
They're talking about books. Abort.
Yeah.
I didn't like the look of Maybe Bindu was very. Plus, again, I love both those actors.
Yeah.
I love Ayushman. I love Priyanti Chopra. It just didn't look... Plus, the studio was marketing in a weird way. The movie was, like, in limbo for, like, a year and a half. It was just odd. Like, it didn't seem like the studio had any confidence that this was going to do well. And even now, you don't... Besides, again, you guys telling me that this movie did well, I'm not hearing anything from, like, critics or any... No one's promoting it. No one's celebrating, you know, week two success of this movie. And it's kind of weird. Like, did it not do good box office-wise?
I think it did okay. It's just it came... Coming out so close on the heels of Bahubali 2... Like, everybody's still going to see that. And so it's, you know, how do you compete?
And you're a Bahubali. Like...
Jai Mahesh Bhatti! Oh, yeah, big time.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, no, I'm ashamed to admit... I'm ashamed to admit I haven't actually even seen one or two.
I
don't know.
Your kids would love it.
Really?
They would go crazy for the first one. Totally.
Really? Why? What do you think there that would appeal to them?
It is, I mean, your kids like fantasy.
Yeah, yeah.
Like action films and stuff. It's
yeah.
totally in that realm. It is, I mean, it climbs a waterfall in like the first 20 minutes of the movie. Like this
okay.
giant waterfall, not like a little waterfall. Like.
And I'm hearing a lot of, I don't know why I didn't hear this with the first one, but the second one I've been hearing a lot of like, oh, the female characters are really like strong and,
oh, yeah.
and powerful.
It's much better. The first one has some issues regarding like some gender equality stuff, and there's a kind of large scale blackface, which is not good. but the second one, like, oh, the female characters are awesome. It's always he's got this adopted mom who's like, I was talking about statecraft, and statecraft means like cutting a guy. It's awesome.
Oh,
yeah, it's great.
So, yeah, it's yeah. I mean, I've just been getting like, the first because. I've had problems with, like, planned sequels. Like, my emotions have been, like, thoroughly toyed with. Nothing story-wise. Just, like, I happened to be out of the country for, like, years at a time for all the pre-release of, like, Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
So I missed all of that. So I had, I didn't know who Tolkien was. I didn't know what Lord of the Rings was. So when I came back to Canada, and again, this is, like, blockbuster days. So I'm like, I've been hearing so much about this Lord of the Rings movie. The one movie that I think it's just the one movie.
Right.
So I go to watch it, and I'm loving every minute of it. And, you know, 20 minutes in, I'm like, man, they got to wrap this thing up quick. Like, what's going on? Like, Thing just died. You know, I won't name him in case of spoilers. But
my favorite character ever of all time.
Right.
Anyway.
And I'm just like, oh, no, there's the death. There's the one death in the movie, right? And we're good now. We're going to wrap it up. And then they don't. The fellowship's back, and they're discussing how to proceed. And then everyone's kind of taking up their own adventure. And I'm like, they've got like 15 minutes, maybe. Like, this is like Bollywood scale. If you go like Bollywood runtime, maybe 20 minutes. Like, what's happening? And then at the end, it's Frodo and Thing looking out into Mordor, going, you know, and we'll start. And I love you. And let's do this. And then the credits. And I'm like, what the hell just happened? Again. No idea this is three movies, no idea that there's books exist, no idea who Tolkien is. And then I go look it up, and I got very upset that I have to wait, like, 3 years for the story to finish. So,
Ring, sorry, the official nerd committee just called, and they said they're revoking your membership card because you didn't know about the books before.
Yes, no, I didn't.
Thousands.
I didn't.
This is, Lord of the Rings is a good comparison, though, because it is the case where... The first Bahubali movie is the first half of a two-part movie. It's not, you can't, like, You get to the end of it, and you're like, what the hell? And so you have to, it is
Is
like,
it a cliffhanger though at the end of the first one?
it is the cliffhangeriest cliffhanger of
Okay.
all cliffhangers. Yeah, so so prepare to see both of them,
Well,
and
that's
they
why I
did.
waited because I'm like I'm not putting myself through that emotional roller coaster all over again. So I waited.
This is now. Here's the thing. This is why you should be watching it sometime soon, because then you're gonna be like, you're gonna watch the first one and be like, kids, holy crap, we gotta go see the second one while it's in theaters. And now ticket prices are, you could go see it at the daytime matinee. Let's go. And it's not like $23 a ticket or whatever it was.
Was that an issue? Like, I know you, I saw you on Twitter a lot about that. Were the
Oh
tickets
yeah.
just like overpriced for whatever reason?
Overpriced is a relative concept. I mean, people were willing to pay for it. It did like a crap ton of business in its first weekend, even though it was like on opening day, Thursday, in the IMAX theater, tickets were $40 for a movie. That's bonkers. But it was, people loved it. When, I mean, my friend Melanie, who's movie maven gal, who you may know on Twitter, I don't, she went and saw it the first day in IMAX, and then went back the next night
I
and
think she watched
saw
it
it.
over and over and over again, I remember.
She did. She's on at least 3 times now. So.
But correct me if I'm wrong though, aren't ticket prices pretty like standard? Like
Well, oh, so the way that it works, I'm assuming in Canada as well as in the US, but definitely in the US for anybody outside the country who doesn't know, is that Hindi films are generally subject to the same ticket prices as any Hollywood film that comes out.
Right.
That's just the deal. South Indian films are different in that they have the way that works with their distributors, they generally have there's like surge pricing essentially, where for opening weekend they can be tickets may be as much as $20-$25 if you're talking about like a Rajinikanth movie or something like that. Yeah, and then they drop over time. And so you $25 first weekend, $15 second weekend, and then maybe starting the third weekend, it's the same pricing as all the other tickets. So that was the deal with Bahubali, was that for the first 3 weeks of its release, tickets were, even by week three, it was like minimum $15, which is probably, which is still even a little bit more expensive than what one would typically pay, even on like a Friday night for a show or something like that for Hollywood. Still a few dollars more than that. And there were no like matinee prices during the day. There was no like
So
cheap
weird.
way to see it. Yeah. And so I think there was a special instance in Canada where it was something, it didn't release in as many theaters because they didn't have a deal with like whatever the big theater chain is up there. Whereas like here in the US, everything was like AMC,
AMC,
Regal, Cinemark, all the big chains had it. So, but yeah, so that's how the ticket pricing works. And so that's why, if you don't have anybody, if you're a writer looking to get into covering South Asian films and you don't have anybody who's paying for your ticket or South Indian films,
Damn.
you're not getting compensated for your tickets. It's an expensive proposition to go the first day.
That's so crazy. But is there a reason behind that? Like, is it? Because I mean, I'm just thinking like tax-wise. Like, isn't it coming from the same country like as Bollywood and Hindi language films?
It's, well, it has to do with, I guess, just different distributors can set those rules. And I think a lot of the distributors who work with the Hindi films have just found it easier to just say, okay, charge whatever you charge for Hollywood stuff. And it gets you in more theaters. So
That's
that's why they've had a
crazy.
broader reach. It's, I don't know if that'll change over time as interest in South Indian films grows, but, and if they want to expand, I wonder if they'll have to change the model. But I'm not sure about that.
So do you think like this discrepancy with the ticket pricing, I mean, not to take away from Bahubali's crazy, ridiculous, stomping of the box office, but like, doesn't that contribute to like how much money it's making globally?
Oh yeah, it definitely does. And it was, I think it was Sumit Chadha of Reliance Entertainment, who works for Reliance in North America, had tweeted that, previously the most successful Indian movie in North America was Dangal, and it was, he said that in order for Bahubali to earn the same amount as Dangal, they only needed to sell a quarter of the number of tickets. Which, in order to reach that same amount, because of the higher ticket
Holy.
prices, which is crazy, and it's you now see that, Bahubali 2 is on, is over $20 million in North America. That's
That's
what it's earned
ridiculous.
so far. Yeah, and Dangal was like 12.3 million. So like that's a big leap.
That's crazy.
now. I don't think that's going to change the way that tickets are priced, because this was kind of like a
Yeah,
rare
let's hope
event.
not.
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. If you want people to keep coming to the
They
movies.
like brown people in movies.
Yeah.
Like, and they don't know any better. But yeah, but I mean, again, yeah, I guess you can't really take away from their numbers, because even with the price increase, people are still coming. People are still willing to pay that much for the movie. So there definitely is, the demand, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Cool. All right. The Business of Bollywood by Kathy
There you
Gibson.
go.
All right, cool. All right, so let's get into why we're here today. Speaking of all these movies, we're gonna be comparing. This is rare. This is weird. I don't know how to approach this. We're winging this entire episode. There's no prior research done whatsoever. We're gonna be comparing basically the trailer for the new Salman Khan movie that's coming out, I believe, in July, June, I want to say.
Whenever Eid is,
Whenever Eid is in North America,
North
apparently.
America. So I think June 23rd in India,
There you
which is
go.
probably the same here.
Probably. Again, no research, so bear with us. So we're comparing the Salman Khan's new movie, the trailer for Salman Khan's new movie, Tube Light, with the movie trailer for the movie that this movie is based on. That got confusing. Little Boy is the movie that Tube Light is supposed to be remade from. And this is not us. This is not. I mean, I know the movies haven't. I mean, Tube Light isn't out, so we're not just. This isn't conjecture. Director of Tube Light, Kabir Khan, has confirmed that it is a loose adaptation of Little Boy. But the weird part is, we saw the trailers for both these films. They will be in the show notes. Feel free to watch the trailers before hearing our discussion. The trailers look like it was made by the same guy.
Yeah.
Like, beat for beat, scene by scene. And it's weird, so we have to discuss it. Kathy, did you watch Little Boy yet at all, or no?
Have not watched it yet. I
Okay.
am
Saving
I'm putting it off as long as possible. I mean, saving it until closer to the
it.
release date. Yeah, I haven't watched it yet. I didn't even remember it coming out,
Yeah.
because it was such a niche film. It's one of, I guess, what gets termed like the faith-based films, and it's produced by Mark Burnett, who created the TV show Survivor, the
Right.
reality show, and his
Oh,
wife
okay.
Roma Downey of The Touched by an Angel. Is that the one?
Touched by an
She's
Angel. Yeah, I remember that
of that
show.
series. Yeah,
We're
so
so
they.
dating ourselves on this episode.
I know this is
This is like,
like.
remember Touched by the Angel? Medicine Woman!
Oh God.
Because they were the same block. I think it was
Yeah, they
one
were in the
after
same
the
block.
other, so.
It's. I mean, I never watched Touched by an Angel. I think I may have.
This is
Yeah.
so bad that we know these details of like television programming.
Well,
Of these shows. These aren't even prime time. I think eventually they switched to like daytime TV shows.
it's. I know. Oh, Dr. Quinn. Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman. Where have you gone? But so now the husband and wife team of Burnett and Downey
Right.
produce these faith-based films, which are like explicitly Christian, and they get released in across the US at least,
Yeah.
not in huge numbers. I mean, it may only be like 1,000 theaters compared to like 4,000 for like Guardians of the Galaxy or something like that, and so they have a presence, but it's not a huge presence. And they don't only market them to Christian groups, but that's really who mostly attends. I forgot about this, and then like Michael Rapaport shows up in the trailer. I'm
Yeah.
like,
I mean, there's some pedigree in the trailer, which makes you kind of go, well, is this a paycheck movie? Because it doesn't seem that expensive. Like, it's just weird. But yeah, so I mean, and I haven't discussed this with you at all whatsoever, but I am committing us on the air to actually doing the show when Tube Light comes up. So both of us will have to watch Little Boy somehow at one point between now and Eid. It's like an Eid gift to ourselves. Yeah, oh, that's weird, eh? Watching a Christian faith-based movie for to compare with a movie coming out on a Muslim national holiday, like the biggest.
Well, considering that Kabir Khan, director Kabir Khan, decided we can adapt this, we'll make it. Although I don't know what religion Salman's character is supposed to be. I mean,
Well, the
it has
thing
to matter,
is,
right? But
well. I, what
I
I
don't
what
know.
I'm seeing is the what they adapted, and again, this is now we're getting out of context. We'll break down each trailer. But I feel like they adapted Christian faith base to Indian nationalism,
which kind of seems good.
Yeah, because right? Okay. Anyway. All right, let's talk about the trailer for Little Boy first, because that's the first one. And the funny thing is, too, like, I remember when the trailer was released, when the teaser came out, there was a teaser for Tube Light, which was, again, just one of those sizzle reels with the music and the, you know, mishmash of scenes and nothing really relevant. But right. I remember when everyone was like, oh, this is a remade from Little Boy. And I'm like, what is this movie? Like, yeah. In my head, I'm thinking this is like a small French movie that I've never seen, that I'm never going to watch, whatever. Sure, remake it. But then when the official trailer came out, which is what we've seen and that we're going to talk about today, I remembered Little Boy watching the trailer for Tube Light. I saw the trailer somewhere, somehow, years ago, and I'm watching the exact same sequence of events. I'm seeing Salman do the action, and I'm like, wait a minute. This was that small movie that no one watched and heard of with Michael Rapaport for some reason. All right, Kathy, break down the trailer for Little Boy.
So, fair warning that the trailer basically gives you the entire story of the movie. So
yeah.
If you really don't want to be spoiled on Little Boy,
well, there's no spoilers, right? We haven't seen the movie. We're going based on the trailer, which is on YouTube. We know nothing about it. I've looked nothing into it. I will go down the rabbit hole for our show. Right now, I just watched the two trailers, and we're going to go off on it. So
I think I read the plot description on Wikipedia. So
I did read a review from someone.
Oh, that's what. Okay. Oh, yeah, I did read the review too.
I think it was someone we know.
Probably
too,
the one I sent you.
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah. But again, Marianne what Johansson, happens?
Shout out to her.
The movie doesn't give, like, the actual movie doesn't give away what's already in the trailer. Like, the trailer doesn't give away what's in the movie because it's all in the trailer. So it's fine. Yeah.
And not to mention, it's based on what is essentially, it's not based on real life events, but it's set in a historical time period. So it's set during World War II, in the U.S. And the premise is that a little boy who's apparently short for his age and had the derisive nickname Little Boy, ooh, what a burn.
By Kevin James, playing the weirdest doctor ever.
Yeah, what the hell's he doing in this
movie? I have like no idea.
It's totally a paycheck.
Well, that's what I'm saying. This movie has this cast, which is so weird that you don't expect to be in a movie like this.
Yeah. I mean, if it's just like, hey, Kevin, well, here's, you know, I don't know how much money you have to give Kevin James to show up for a couple days worth of work, but you know, I mean, whatever. It's you're not doing anything else. Just come on over, I guess.
I think this was in between his new pilot and King and Queens getting canceled or something. I don't know.
Yeah, true. Yeah, maybe it's just a favor. Maybe he knows, you know, Mark Burnett, the CBS family, King of Queens. Anyway.
Oh yeah, true. Maybe.
Yeah. So it's that this little boy, it has this close relationship with his dad, who's the dad is Michael Rapaport, and dad gets called away to go fight in World War II. And I think this is set on, I think this is set in California. So it's kind of, you know, dad is across the Pacific fighting in Japan.
Okay, right.
And so I guess around the same time in this small town, like a magician comes by and does this stunt where he convinced, you know, has the little kid come up on stage and move a bottle with his mind, even though it's, you know, I'm assuming obviously
clearly a trick. Yeah,
clearly a trick.
Well, I mean, and also just to bring it back to this is important because they set up the boy's relationship with his dad to be like they have like crazy imagination. They have all these fantasy playtime where it reminded me of like Finding Neverland, if you remember, with Johnny Depp and the kid, where it's like their playtime is they're actually transported to these pirate ships and, you know, westerns and things like that. So the trailer sets it up like that the father and son have a wild imagination, and the father always asks the kid, do you believe? So the magician kind of says something similar, and the kid gets all, you know, happy because it reminds him of his dad. And
Yeah. And that just keeps happening throughout the trailer. Other adults asking him, you know, well, do you believe? And if you believe enough, you can, all the kid wants is to bring his dad home. Right. And so it's, if you believe enough, you can bring your dad home. And it's, and because of what this genre of film, it's not just about believing in yourself. It's presumably also believing in a Christian God who can do this for you. And because a priest tells him this. And same
thing. The priest, by the way, Tom Wilkinson. Again, another crazy, like amazing kind of legendary actor plopped in this movie. And you're like, what is happening?
I'm dying to watch this to see how much airtime each of these people get. Like, was it obviously like just filmed in one day?
Yeah.
Like, that's what I want to know. I want
Yeah.
to know, like, how long did it take to make this whole movie? So,
One day, Kathy, come on.
well, I mean, not the whole movie, but like Tom Wilkinson's part where they're like, Tom, we need you for like 4 hours.
We're just gonna do this
Just,
like a play of people, just hit your
yeah.
cues, just wish everything's on camera. Go.
Don't have to research ahead of time. Here's $20,000. Boom. Whatever. It's so, and this is the thing. And the kid seems to start believing that he has these powers. He's got an older brother who's like, it's, you're not going to be able to bring dad back.
Right.
You think you can move mountains? There's a mountain. And he points and da da da. Kid does magic, magician fingers slash jazz hands. And all of a sudden, the ground starts to shake. And it's so the coincidence of him thinking this and doing this in public with an earthquake then starts
Right.
to apparently convince the townspeople that this kid might be
Yeah.
magic.
Yeah.
And so it's about how, gee, if I just believe enough, I can wiggle my fingers in the general direction of Japan, and maybe that will send my magic Christian vibes over to bring my
Right.
dad home.
Yeah.
And so it's that's the premise of
That's
the
the
film.
movie.
That's the movie
That's
in a
the
nutshell.
movie. Yeah. How a little
So
kid's belief ends World War II, basically.
keep in mind, everyone knows how World War II ended. And
Right.
apparently the Jesus dropped nukes on Japan
Jesus dropped
is the premise of Little Boy.
nukes. Oh God, I can't even imagine what we're gonna do when we actually watch the movie. Yeah, so yeah, that's in a nutshell, that's what the movie's about. And I mean, they try. I was with it with this trailer. I remember when I first watched it, I was with it I mean, a point. I'm like, oh man, this has got to be so hard for a kid. A kid dad goes off to war. Like, what is this movie gonna be about? Like him coming to terms with reality, but not losing hope and optimism, kind of a thing. Like, yeah, I guess. I mean, manipulative still, but sure. Like, I'm not gonna watch it, but go for it. But then it gets weird with the magician and the priest going, "You better believe. You can't have a doubt. Like even a shadow." And I'm like, yo, what? Like, what are you? Why are you berating him to like do magic?
The kid's like 7. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have no doubts in the eternal, by the way, even though you're 7 and you can't possibly understand what that means.
And the thing is, I didn't even realize it was a faith-based thing until afterwards.
Yeah.
By the end of it, you're like, oh, is this what this is about? Like, that's creepy. Like, you're juxtaposing World War II and some complicated events to the faith of 1 7-year-old boy. Even fictionally, that seems weird to kind of. Complex issues, simple mind, like that doesn't mesh.
And
And
yet, Kabir Khan says, I know!
he
We can
was
make
de
this in
he
Hollywood!
definitely disagreed. He's like, this makes so much sense to me. I'm gonna change it to India. I'm gonna put more war into it. Also, a war that no one knew about, clearly, because I looked into Tube Light more so than I did Little Boy. And it's a war from the 60s. It's not even a war, it's a border war between India and I want to say China. And like the Indo-Sine War or something like that, it's called in 1968, and I'm like, who's heard of this war?
You want to know why no one's heard of it, which again, thank you, Wikipedia, is because it coincided perfectly with the day with the Bay of Pigs invasion.
Oh, okay, all right.
So, of course, nobody's like, border skirmish between China and India, or potential nuking of the entire Western
Right.
Hemisphere between,
Yeah. Okay.
Cuban
Oh,
Sur,
that's right. I
yeah.
did read that. That's right. I did read that as well. Again, my research on Tube Light goes as far back as last year when we were looking forward to Tube Light for a movie for this year, and yeah, it said that U.S. couldn't help India or China because they were so caught up with the Bay of Pigs. That's right. Yeah. See, it's all coming together. But yeah. Okay. So moving into Tube Light now, essentially exact same story. With slight tweaks, and we're just gonna talk about the tweaks now, because otherwise the trailer is exactly the same. This is what compelled us to do this episode, because the trailer follows the same sequence of events. All right.
It is, yeah, the trailer is beat for beat. It is the laziest trailer because they're just like, yeah, just do the same thing. Now, of
No,
course, what is it?
I'll go as far as to even say it's the same guy who cut the trailer for a little boy.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm sure the movie failed, and again, just allow me, I'm going to get my soapbox. The movie failed, he was fired, he drifted through Europe for a couple of years, ended up in India, found a job doing what he was doing in Hollywood, and ended up working his way into this, and no one realized, and he's like, oh, I'll just do the same thing I did last time. I'm telling you. It looks exactly the freaking same. Like, that can't be a coincidence. And, because even, like, what I was, like, when I was writing up this episode, I felt like I had to justify why we're doing this episode. Like,
right.
Like, why are you guys comparing trailers, you morons? Especially when you're going to talk about the movies a couple of months from now anyways. Well, it's because usually when every adaptation that, I mean, you and I have reviewed or any other, you know, split screen podcast adaptation we've compared, there are differences. There's massive differences.
Yeah.
Especially in the marketing and the promos. They focus on those differences. The trailer, right. I've never seen any trailer for any of the movies that we've compared. Well, yeah, there's elements where you go, oh, I think this is like that. But it's never like the exact damn trailer.
There's no like adjustment to like the Indian marketplace from the American movie-going marketplace. Same thing.
It's the same sort of mountainy, hilly town. It's the same sort of people doubting him, yeah. The same bullying scene. Like, the scenes in the trailer are exactly the same.
We should mention that the biggest difference between the two movies is that the 7-year-old boy is played by 50-year-old Salman Khan.
Oh, yes, yes. For people that didn't realize this.
Salman is the little boy.
Yes. Salman is not the dad. Like, most people would think that, oh, this makes sense that Salman Khan's doing this because he'd be the fighter, the action hero guy going to war while his kid, oh my god, the best emotionally, you know, manipulative tearjerker.
Yeah.
No! Salman plays the 7-year-old kid in Tube Light.
He's like, he's supposed to be, I guess, a simple, I don't know how to describe, I don't know what the appropriate
right.
term
yeah,
is.
Because
I don't know what the designation, but he's a mentally challenged, learning disabled, I guess, man.
Yeah.
And much to my also further upsetting me, it's not his dad who goes off to war, which it would have been great if it was like 50-year-old Salman who's like 75-year-old dad has to march off to fight. That would have been awesome.
Like a Rishi Kapoor from Kapoor and Sons.
Oh, yes,
that would have been really good. That would have actually justified the goddamn makeup, which it didn't justify in Kapoor and Sons. Anyways. We're bleeding irritations from other films.
Instead, Salman, big brother that he is once again propping up Sohail, his little brother's career, by casting him in this movie.
Hey, I'm more excited to see Sohail Khan in this movie than I am to see Salman do his same shtick. I like Sohail Khan for the smaller things he's done. I've enjoyed his work. Not the movies, his work.
Okay.
I'm glad to see him here. I like what I'm seeing of him here, though. You don't think he looks like he's doing something better than what Salman is doing in this movie?
I mean, that's a very low bar. It's not.
Give Sohail something. Come on.
That's Salman's job. That's not my job. That's what he's been doing for the last decade. Oh, sorry, Sohail Khan burns. I'm sorry. I want Sohail to succeed on his own merits. I want him to find something.
It's because he tried that and he failed miserably.
Well,
because I mean, he debuted as did he direct his first movie? I don't remember. But he was a director before he debuted as an actor. He did Hello Brother with both him and Arbaaz Khan.
Oh,
so he was a filmmaker, quote unquote, before he became like an actor, which I've always appreciated. That hey. You paid your dues behind the camera.
Right.
Now you're coming in the front. You know, self-absorb away, my friend.
maybe I'm projecting my irritation with Arbaaz, Salman's other brother, who only has a career because of Salman.
Yes.
I'm projecting my irritation from the movie Jeena Isi Kanam Hai, came out earlier this year, which is a total disaster. I mean, if you want to see how not to make a movie, that would be it.
You know, because, I mean, weird enough, I don't think Sohail's been working at all. Like, I mean,
no. Yeah,
definitely, I agree with you about that. Arbaaz's career has been sort of, you know, buoyed by Salman Khan. I don't think Sohail has done anything to even require Salman's help. Like, I don't think he's been working independent or otherwise. And that's why I like the guy, because I've always gotten the sense that Sohail's never been the kind of guy who's needed their sort of, like, superficial, like, I guess, acclaim or recognition.
He gets to go to all the parties. He's rich. It's
Yeah.
cool. You know, live the life. I guess, you know, I don't blame him. It's so I'm hoping maybe he will be great. I have
He looks
I
good. The war scenes, for some reason, from Little Boy to this movie, the war scenes seem to be a lot more significant in Tube Light, for whatever
Yeah,
reason.
that's true.
And
I
he looks
think
good in it.
yeah, he has the potential to be the big star of this movie.
No, he doesn't. Salman Khan's in the same movie.
It's
He's not going to be the bigger
I mean, it's
star,
not the big
Cassie.
star, but like the you know when everybody goes, okay, well, accepting Salman, although he's
Yeah.
going to be overshadowed
Yes.
by
He's
Muhammad
gonna.
Zeeshan Ayub, who I love and who is like
Yeah.
the king of I like the king of like keeping a straight face when everything else around him is totally stupid.
Ridiculous, yeah.
Yeah, he's great at that. He's totally an underrated actor. I love him. I'm happy whenever he's in anything. And Kabir Khan, I think, has used him before. He was in like Phantom, which I had to look up because I didn't remember anything about that movie, even though I reviewed it.
I feel like he's gonna be like this movie doesn't have antagonists, but I feel like he's gonna be like the town bully.
Because he plays the character of the like he's the version of the little boy's older
Older bro
brother who
yeah.
plays, who's like
From
why you know there's
yeah.
nothing you can do you can't bring your brother back
Yeah.
yeah the
Yeah.
voice of reason that
Yeah.
everyone wants to ignore for the sake of magical patriotism
And that's what this movie is now, right? Like
yeah.
Tube, like I was mentioned earlier, like Tube Light adapted the Christian faith stuff into like national patriotism, essentially.
Yeah. It is, and it's, I mean, it's down, the trailer is the same thing, the same like plot beats, and down to the Salman doing the exact same motions as the
Right.
little kid, like the same little magic jazz hand
Yeah.
fingers, and even getting up on a bench to do it,
Yeah.
and which is how the trailer for Little Boy ends, and it's how the trailer for both of them end. And yeah, so it's gonna be so
See, the
weird.
thing is, okay, so here's the thing. So, I mean, just kind of specifically talking about Tube Light still. First of all, like, the whole Salman being the little boy, like, that's weird.
Right.
But you can, I mean, okay, look at Salman's filmography. He's very prone to playing characters that are unrealistically simple, good-hearted, kind. Like, you go back to, again,
Right.
his last movie with Kabir Khan, Bajrangi Bhaijaan, where he played a
Yeah.
very similar character. And the logic in that movie was that he's a religious, a patron of this specific religious deity. And so he doesn't
Yeah.
believe in lying. Which is like, fine, you've given his character a sort of logical explanation for being the way he is. In this movie, I mean, we're kind of all assuming that he's mentally challenged. The trailer has a throwaway line that basically he says that, oh, my brother is the only one that believes I'm not less than anyone else.
Yeah.
But there's no other explanation that this
Because
character may be mentally challenged. And the funniest part to me is, if you didn't think about that and you watched this movie, you wouldn't even notice, because you'd be like, yeah, this is a typical Salman performance. Of
yeah.
course he's nice. Of course he's simple. Of course he's a dullard. Of course he's naive. This is
Right.
what Salman typically plays. He's either an action hero badass or the simplest, cutest person in the world.
Yeah.
That's problematic to me.
Well, it's because it's the only way to make sense of the fact, why isn't this guy being drafted into the war? Why isn't he like, so
Right.
long, so hail, go
He's
fight on
just
the
as
family's
big as the
behalf?
other guy.
Yeah,
Like,
exactly.
yeah.
So,
Yeah, and that's a problem for me. Like, if you can't explain to me in the story that, I mean, and the weird part is, Little Boy felt like they needed to explain the title Little Boy by showing
yeah.
us that he was a boy who was still littler than other boys.
Yes,
So they
exactly.
felt the need to
Exactly.
justify their main characters, that attribute. But Kabir Khan and team go, we're gonna make that 7-year-old a 55-year-old and never explain why in the trailer. And I'm like, really?
Is Tube Light is supposed to be an insult, right? Is it supposed to
Yes,
be?
so I mean, the
Okay.
whole thing of Tube Light is like, if you've seen one of those fluorescent flicker tube lights, they
Yeah.
flicker on. So the
Yeah.
whole kind of like colloquialism, slang is that tube light is like you're slow to catch on. Like, for example,
Oh, okay.
the best kind of representation of that term would be like Joey from Friends.
Yeah.
That you're slow to get things, or things come to you a lot slower than other people, kind of a thing. So it is a derogatory, almost like a it's like a playful insult.
Yeah. So
So
it's because that's what didn't translate to me. I mean, that is not an American burn at all. It's not an American insult.
We have more fluorescent lights in South Asia for some reason than here.
It's
weird.
I have no explanation for that, but
we'll have the report for you on that when we do the show for the movies.
Yes, yeah. I've been studying lighting technology across the continents as I make Shah spit out his drink, which none of you can see, but I can. I guess the equivalent in the U.S. would probably be something like calling someone a lever, because it's the simplest tool.
Okay.
So I've heard that before, but like,
I was going to say an Allen wrench, but I guess those are useful. Yeah.
Well, and I guess because there's not too many components. I guess basically the theme between both of them is that they have really terrible burns and really terrible insults as their titles.
But that's the thing too, right? It's like, how do you explain to me that the main character is deficient in some way in the title of your movie, but not in the actual synopsis of the story?
Yes, and especially when they're going out of the way in the trailer to show that he is physically fit. You know, we know Salman is, and they're showing him as that. He's not playing a guy who is in any way physically unprepared for war. And so they have to show him being all
just
buff. But
use
like
him like the Hulk. Point him. Run through those people. Simple-minded, massive 280-pound guy.
Right.
He can literally be used as a weapon. Like, what's the problem with this?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's not a good trailer for explaining how they managed to adapt, you know, one thing to the other. I don't know.
And the thing is also, when you take away the faith-based symbolism of, because the thing is, just adapting the main character from a 7-year-old boy to a 50-year-old man changes so many things in the premise, right? Like, when you're 7 years old, no one's going to explain to you what war is, because they're going to be patronizing, they're going to be condescending to you. When you're 50, sure, maybe you're challenged, but people aren't going to indulge you as much, right?
Well,
they're not going to...
And doesn't that make it worse? Where, like, I'm fine with tricking kids about stuff. That's cool. We do that all the time. Because you know eventually they'll learn.
Right.
And so, but the idea... So it's one thing if you're like, okay, little kid, you just want to
play
hard
enough.
But then you're taking somebody who's an adult man who is somehow... like learning disabled,
and you know,
and
he's never going to understand better than what you explained to him right now,
and you trick him, and it's
right.
Like, that just seems really mean, and I'm waiting to see with the movie how they do it. And that's not, you know, just because it's not as obviously faith-based as the American trailer, I wouldn't rule that out for the Indian one, because it's kind of you know, faith in India, like it's so hard to separate what's a social custom, what's a religious custom.
True.
In a lot of Indian households and social interactions and all that, that I don't know how that's going to manifest. You know, there's nothing to say that it couldn't manifest in Tublai. We just haven't seen it yet to know exactly the source of his powers. I do really like the idea of thinking that his love for India is strong enough that he can, I don't know, topple mountains in China or whatever happens.
Yeah, that's... So, and okay, and speaking of China, the other weird part that we're not talking about this trailer is, and this is the stuff that was in the news before the trailer came out, the fact that Tubelight was going to co-star Salman Khan as the lead with Chinese actress, I want to say Zhuzhu was her name?
I know,
I'm not sure what it is, but...
It is Zhuzhu or something like that. Z-H-U-Z-H-U is her.
Yeah. So, and you see scenes of this actress along with an Asian boy... And you're trying to figure out where the hell does that fit in with the story of Little Boy that we've seen.
Right. And all I know from what I read about Little Boy was that in Little Boy, there's also some weirdness about him befriending the only Japanese man in town.
Well, keep
in mind, America had managed to intern as many Japanese people people as they could have been to internment camps at the time.
Yeah.
And so it was, like, so there's that weirdness, I guess, and so I don't know how that's gonna...
Oh, like, I see. Okay, so, you know what? I can see him befriending a small Asian kid and who's on his level, I guess, and his mom would be the love... I don't know. This is weird.
I don't know if there's gonna be a love... It's gonna be weird if there is, but... And I don't know if it's the case of, like, is the whole... having not seen the movies, is the whole idea behind having both of these characters, the one Japanese character and the Chinese characters, like, it's cool. cool. I've got a Japanese friend, so it's fine if I nuke the rest of Japan. I'm not racist.
Yeah, also, I
I
mean, also to be fair to Tublet, we don't know how. I don't know if in the Indo-China border war thing ends as historically
Yeah.
significantly as World War II did.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if everybody's just like, ah, screw it. Go
Yeah.
home.
Yeah, I
And
don't
I
know if
don't
the
know.
hey, I don't
Yeah.
know if the Juju character adopts Salman after Sohail's character dies. That would actually be kind of awesome.
That would be great.
Okay, so I mean, okay, so there's one thing that I wanna talk about, and I wanna ask you, Kathy,
Okay.
because this is weird for me. Like, I'm having this paradoxical sort of struggle within myself, because as much as we're crapping on Tubelite and that it's weird nonsensical adaptation from Little Boy, I'm still very much affected by the trailer. I'm still very much like, oh my God, someone's crying. This is sad. And like, I know I'm gonna bawl like a baby when the movie comes out at those scenes specifically. I don't know. I can't explain to you why. So I want to pose to you why. We know Salman Khan movies are crazy manipulative, very superlative. Why do we still buy into it?
This is why we can podcast together, because this is what differentiates us. Even though we frequently agree on things, you are the
The
softy,
best, yes.
and I am the hardened cynic who's like, ah, screw this. This looks awful. You're not getting me to cry, Salman.
Love how you're so mad at Salman. Is that gonna work this time, buddy?
Yeah, exactly. And I liked Bajrangi Bhaijaan. Like, I actually thought it was pretty good. And there's, it's. So I don't know. I'm there. There's a whole, the whole premise behind, or the whole reason Salmanness works is because of all of our willingness to buy into it, or whoever his fans are,
You mean
because.
our faith in Salman?
Hey, ding ding! If only you believe, we can make a court case against Salman disappear.
Blasphemy.
I know, this is blasphemy, and I will get lots of angry
Oh, this is good.
Twitter comments. That so much of it is him representing this idea of purity and innocence, and it's like, ignore the rest of the stuff that does not fit into that,
Yeah.
and just focus on what you want, and that's why it works, and it's why so many movies of his are so similar. Is and why you can just write a Salman movie knowing what a Salman movie is because he is this persona, and we all want to believe in that, right? And so we'll see if this works.
I also feel like, I mean, like, and this is for me. Like, the perception of Salman for me has been growing up watching a different Salman than the one today, right? For my generation, we've seen Salman as a scrawny kid, right? Like, we've seen him as the guy who was the non-threatening, disarming, what I call the chocolate, romantic hero. He was never, he never portrayed any ideals other than, I'm cute and I'm sweet and I love your daughter. Can we please get together? Like, that's kind of always been Salman. And now that he's gotten older and he's gotten bigger and like physically, and he's more comes off more of as a hulking sort of bad guy than that image. But he hasn't changed. His portrayal and depictions of roles is still like that.
Well,
And it's
and
kind of
every
like we've bought into his own self-delusion of how he sees himself, and we're still seeing him in that way as well.
I always think of a comment from, I think it was last year, 2 years ago, when I forget what it was regarding, but Salman said, "I feel like a raped woman,"
Yes!
which is
He's.
bad.
Yeah!
And
I remember
his
that.
dad came to his defense,
Yep.
saying, "He's just a boy. He's just an innocent child." The guy was, if
Yeah.
not already 50, almost 50 years old. 50, 5-0. Like, way past the point of knowing better. And yet, even there's this dependence on preserving his image. It's like, oh, he's an innocent boy. He can't do any harm. He doesn't mean any harm. He lives at home with me and his mom, Like, and so that's, there's a whole industry built around that.
But do you think that's more, I mean, because if that was happening in Hollywood, I would say that that is a conscious attempt at, like you said, building a brand. Like, they are branding this celebrity in this way. Do you think for Salman it is a conscious attempt at branding, or do you think he truly is that man-childish that they portray him to be?
No, he's a piece of crap as a person. I'll say it. He beat up Aishwarya. And he tried to ruin a career and got everybody else to turn on her. There were allegations that he abused Katrina when they were together. Yeah. It's not, you know, regardless of what the court case said, he was drunk driving. He ran over a homeless man and killed him, and he got away with it because he's a famous celebrity.
Yep.
And so it's, you can't have those things, and yet, you know, like, innocent Salman versus this guy who's in total butthole.
Yeah.
There's a total willingness. It's a willingness on everyone's part to just ignore this stuff. I'm not saying you can't enjoy some of his movies, but he's in, like, the weird Woody Allen territory where, like, it's not, you know, you can't, you're saying, okay, I'm going to ignore the bad things that this guy has done, allegedly, and in order to watch this, like, I don't remember what the most recent Woody Allen movie is, but it's very hard for me to watch things unless they were before his controversy. And the same thing with Salman. Like, I'm you know, much newer to Hindi cinema, you know, where all of my Salman related stuff is like post 2005, so I don't remember him as the young innocent you know, boyfriend. So it's
That's what's I get it. And the thing is, like I said, like, me personally, I know I'm in that, you know, majority that is complicit in that, because I know better. But at the same time, I can't help myself. Like, again, like, I've always said from years ago, I've always said that anytime Salman Khan cries on screen, doesn't even have to be freaking in context. Like, if there's just a shot of him tearing up, I will just, without my, like, you know, physical capacity to control myself, I will start tearing up too. And I don't understand why. And so this movie, that's what I'm saying. Like, Tube Light, I know I will get super emotional.
Right.
And then once maybe I've calmed down, I'll be like, that was crap and a half. I don't know.
Yeah.
But that's why, for example, Sultan was really hard for me to try to understand if I liked it or not. Because it was kind of like, there's so many scenes where he's a dick of a person. The character.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I'm associating that dick to, you know, who I know to be a dick in real life.
Right.
And is it okay for me to forgive that in the movie? For me to move on and enjoy the second half of the movie?
Yeah,
it was just weird.
It's what's become, I think, the biggest problem with his career is that how do you separate what's going on around everything, you know, outside of the movie with the actual movie itself? And it's really hard to drown out that noise.
And I find, especially because, and this is a conscious attempt on his part, the filmmakers that hire him and everybody else, that there is a conscious attempt to blend the two things together, right? Salman Khan plays Salman Khan in every movie with variations of that personality. Like, for example, if you told me today that, hey, do you know Nawazuddin Siddiqui doesn't tip waiters? I'd be like, what an asshole. But I don't see that in his film roles.
Right.
Because he plays crazy characters with amazingly, you know, in amazing good movies. Salman Khan, you tell me that, you know, he's a dick to his girlfriend, and then he has a girlfriend in a movie, and he's being charming, and I'm watching, and I'm going, I think he beats her. Like you can't separate those two things, because he's not separating them. You watch a Salman Khan movie because it's a Salman Khan movie. You don't watch a movie because of the director. You don't watch a movie because of the writer or the actress or what the story is. You're watching it because it's Salman Khan. And I think that's why he's the only person that gets problematic with, that you can't disassociate the actor's real life shenanigans with the character he's playing.
And even if you look at the real life shenanigans behind the other big actors, you know, like, Amir has his complicated stuff, but that's okay. He's in complicated movies and he's a complicated guy.
But it's just that his complication in real life doesn't take away from his roles. Because he's a dick to his dad. Fine.
Yeah. These things are on smaller scales, or they're more personal. Like, okay, you know, there's all the rumors about, like, Shah Rukh and Priyanka Chopra. And, like, does that But that doesn't make me like I don't care if he's if you're
Yeah.
just dating somebody. It's different when you have a reputation for being a violent lawbreaker. Is
Yeah.
like that's not cute, and you can't dismiss that, and you can't be
Yeah.
like, oh, you know, it's just, you know.
I would love to see a Salman Khan movie where he plays a gray character that screws with the morality of things he's doing on screen. I would
Yeah.
love that because I want to see how I react to that. Because I'm like, hey, you
Yeah.
did that. You did that in real life. I want to see him play a douchebag who breaks the law and gets away. Like, let's
Yeah.
see that. And that's, I think that's the only time we can truly say if we can dissociate him from his roles.
Yeah, exactly. Wouldn't that be interesting? And that's it's what it's the challenge that his brand and the people who manage him and he himself, you know, have been trying to maintain. It's also, I mean, it's also just tricky too, like playing these innocent characters into your 50s. I mean, it's the same problem that all three of the cons are running into now. Like you can't be the guy you can't play the same roles you were playing 20 years ago or 25 years ago.
Well, and speaking of the cons, I'm gonna leave Amir out of it because Amir's been doing crazy things since like a lot longer. But Shah Rukh Khan recently has done roles where he has been a bit more mature, like Love You, Zindagi, Rais, you know, debate notwithstanding of how good or bad Rais was. Do you feel disappointed with Salman doing Tublat right after he did Sultan? Because I thought Sultan was like his attempt to go more mature and go a little different. Do you feel a little
It's
saddened?
well, it's just that it doesn't interest me.
Yeah.
Like it just seems like something I've seen before. It's why Dabang was so great. Like that movie was like totally wacky and a spin off of, you know, similar characters that we've seen before, but a
Yeah.
real tweak. I mean, like that movie's so smart. And that's what I loved. And in this it's just like, okay, I saw him running around in the hills with a border conflict story back in
Yeah.
Azerbaijan. And you know, it's
Yeah.
yeah, Sultan was it was interesting. And
Yeah,
I don't know, this
I find he's better when he is self-aware. Like Dabang
yeah.
was very self-aware. It was very like, here's the thing that every Indian movie does, and we're gonna just mock the crap out of it, like
Yeah.
everything. And Sultan was, I found, a very stark look at himself. Like I thought Sultan was very like a lot of the things the
Yeah.
character goes through. It's like he's making fun of himself. We've talked about this before. I personally am very kind of let down with Tublat because it's like. You're not, you went 180 again, but the
Well,
wrong
and it's
way.
isn't this and this ties back into the trailer itself, the trailer being so similar. It's really hard to write a Dabang. It's very difficult to get everything right that you need to get right about the comedy and the satire. Like, this is easy. They just took a movie that was already made.
Yeah.
And I mean, I watched the two trailers back to back with my husband, and he said, "So do you think they even bothered to watch the whole movie of Little Boy, or do you think they just got everything they needed from the trailer and just
Yeah.
put it together from there?" And
Yeah.
part of me
Pretty
wouldn't be
sure.
surprised, you know? Like I don't maybe they're like, "Yeah, we don't even need to invest the 2 hours in watching the whole thing. We've seen what we need in 2 minutes."
Well, we can get an intern to. No, don't bother. It's fine. It's fine. It's. No, but it's free. We don't pay them. It's okay. It's fine. Just. We got it here. 2 minutes. We're good. Well, the thing that was most disappointing to me in the Tublat trailer is the thing that Salman Khan is usually known for that usually brings in the women, brings in the crowds, the dancing. Even in,
Oh,
like the
dear.
little bit that he dances is his hips are covered with these baggy slacks and sweater vests. And I'm like, that's not a move I can replicate at the next Brown Jam. Like, come on.
Right. I mean, it was like, wasn't it like the very, like, sort of variation on like the very stereotypical, was it screw in the light bulb, pet the dog,
Right.
like joking move, except it's like
Right.
turn on the radio instead of petting the dog. And it's like, it was just like,
To be fair, though, I love the song. Like, I'm obsessed with the song. Everyone thinks I'm an idiot, but I'm like just going nuts with the song. But that's the thing again. I can't help myself. I cannot help myself.
So we've already learned that you're obsessed with the radio song and you are going to cry
I will
during the
cry during this movie. There's no like. I'm not even. I don't even need to know if the movie's good. I will cry. I will roll my eyes up until the moment Salman gets emotionally hurt, and I will bawl and be right there with him.
So
That's it.
anyone who fears that like it's just gonna be me hating on Salman the whole time, don't worry, you will be represented. Your fanboy avatar is
At the
here.
same time, though, I might cry, but that doesn't guarantee I'm gonna like the movie.
Well, that's true.
So,
That's true.
all right. I think that's all. Besides me starting to cry now, thinking about crying at Salman, I think we can wrap it up. Kathy, thank you so much for joining me for this weird offshoot episode where we spent more time analyzing Salman Khan's career than actually the trailers we were talking about. Why don't you let people know where they can get a hold of you, your box office analysis of Bollywood in America?
I am at accessbollywood.com and on Twitter at Kathy F. Gibson.
Awesome. Thank you once again. And again, check back in with the Split Screen Podcast on iTunes for our future episode where we will be watching each of these movies. I won't review it because, you know, the tears. But I'll be talking about it on the show. And yeah, until then, thank you so much for joining us, everybody. And that was episode 30 of the Split Screen Podcast, the official podcast of blankpagebeatdown.com. This episode was with Kathy Gibson from accessbollywood.com, but there's many other episodes with her on the show, so feel free to go back into the show catalog, take a look at the back episodes, and not just Kathy, but there's a lot of other guests of mine I have that are hella smarter than me when it comes to movies and film analysis, so check it out. The show can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play Music. Subscribe to the podcast to listen to the back episodes. And if you don't have a podcasting app, go onto the website, blankpagebeatdown.com, where you can download an MP3 file of the actual episode, as well as all the other show notes and links to everything else we talked about during this episode. Follow the podcast on Twitter at splitscreen_pod. Follow me personally on Twitter at TheShahShahid. Like our Facebook page at facebook.com/blankpagebeatdown. And if you've liked what you heard today and you want to hear more, or you have some tips on how we can improve or what we're doing good and what we're doing bad, definitely leave us a review and rating on iTunes or Stitcher. It really helps other people find the show as well as helps me improve the show for you. So that was basically everything. Thank you so much once again for tuning in. And until next time, this is Shah Shahid signing out for Split Screen Podcast.